We got 2016 coming up. You were a big Ron Paul guy the last couple of cycles here. I'm a big Rand Paul guy for this cycle. So, you know, I think clearly my guy has been written off for dead very prematurely.
He didn't even get a chance.
You know, he's got a good following with the youth in Iowa. I think it's a stealthy, under-the-radar kind of a thing here. You know, I'm saying this. I'm saying that it's still going strong. But
I saw a thing where he wasn't even included on the latest poll. It was like...
Well, Fox News does that all the time.
They did it to Ron Paul, too. It's like they have this agenda against him.
They do.
Like,
they do.
The Pauls.
It's like, so transparent.
They're like, oh, wait, he speaks some sense. Like, I'm not... I do not stand with Rand, but I don't stand against Rand, if that makes any sense. I'm actually, my political views have changed. I'm actually NOTA. I'm actually a big proponent, and people will hate me for this. I'm none of the above, and I've actually become so just, like, disenfranchised with the whole concept, like, just voting in general. I'm just kind of, like, meh. And everyone's like, you know, oh, you have to, and, like, I had some woman at work start yelling at me because, like, oh, you have no right to complain if you don't vote. I'm like, no, that is my protest by not voting. And I know a lot of people out there who are also protesting by not voting because, you know what? I said a while ago that I wanted, in order to make change, I wanted, you know, a celebrity that had money that would run for office and that wasn't into politics.
That.
Well, I got my wish, and oh, my God.
Be careful
I
what you ask
however,
for.
However, just for the fact that, you know, he's not going to win, but if he did, I wouldn't be upset with the fact that a WWE Hall of Famer would be in the White House. Just saying.
Yeah.
I saw him take a stunner at WrestleMania 23. I saw him get interviewed live at WrestleMania. I went to two WrestleManias, and Donald Trump was at both of them. That's crazy.
Well, just like Pete Rose, I would have bet on Pete Rose being the first WWE Hall of Famer to make it to the White House, but I hadn't thought of it that way, but...
It's just the whole concept, like, it's kind of it's a joke, really, because I watched at least the Democratic debate, they actually touched on issues that I have an interest in. Mm-hmm. Like, the Republican debate, it's the same old tired rhetoric over and over again. It's like, oh, I'm pro-life, I'm against abortion. Okay, here's a fun fact. Abortion's not going anywhere. It's not abortion that is the issue. It is the need for abortion in this society that is the issue. As long as there's a need for abortion, and there is because we sell sex to kids, it's going to exist. You can't run a campaign on, I'm going to make everything, every life matters, it's like, or whatever they're doing now. It's like, no, this has nothing to do with anything. You're not going to change anything because you can't get rid of it, because if you get rid of it, then it's going to happen in back alleys. The same reason why it got put in the first place. Am I personally against it? Yes. But at the same time, I can't tell someone else no, because it is what it is. It is unfortunately a necessary evil in the world we live in, because if they get rid of it, it ain't like it's going to stop happening.
Without endorsing the necessary evil part, look, I mean, I'm a social con myself, and it was probably surprising how much of what you said I just co-sign on, just because of the cynicism of the Republican Party. For people like me, who I'm basically a hippie about... innocent unborn.
You are
life.
Not a hippie.
I'm a hippie about the unborn, basically.
Okay.
Like, some people are hippies about baby seals. I'm hippies about the precious unborn, whatever. But here's the thing: they always promise people like me they're going to protect them and do something about it, and then like, oh, we didn't realize that Supreme Court justice wasn't going to go the way we thought he was going to go. Yeah, right. What they do is they keep it out there as something to keep dangling in front of people like me who would like to, in a better world, you know, see it go away. So I agree, actually, with a lot of what you said, because they're not going to change it. I come from the standpoint of I wish that they would, but they won't. And look, this none of the above thing, I may be right with you if Rand doesn't make it in there, because here's the thing.
Vote for NOTA on Facebook. Give us a like.
That's kind of what I did. I backed Virgil Good Jr., the Constitution Party guy in 2012, because I was like, Romney versus Obama. Like, I'm like angry at my country that they're giving. This is an insult to my intelligence. I am an educated voter. I realize that I'm in the tiny, vast minority on that. Not to sound elitist, but it's true.
No, it's true.
I'm an issue guy. You know, it's like... This is what I say to people all the time. Like, I don't get caught up in the stuff on Facebook, the culture war stuff on either side, and the bashing and whatever. Like, and it's like, I don't care if it sounds elitist to say it, but I'm a policy guy. I care about issues. I care about policies. I'm not going to get caught up in bashing or anything like that. But it's like, if I don't get it, like, I love Rand Paul because he checks off so many boxes on things that I care about. It's the issues. If it ain't him, who's going to check off that many boxes in the Republican Party for me? I love the absurd things in life, as do you. I know you thought I was making this up initially until I proved it to you. There are Ron Paul purists out there who are saying, screw Rand Paul. He's not pure enough for me. I'm going to go with Ted Cruz.
Okay. I had a radio show on Ron Paul Radio for a while there. And the amount of people, it was so interesting, like how, like I was actually in the Libertarian Party. Like I was actually an elected official in the Libertarian Party to the point where I went to like state meetings for the Libertarian Party. And this is why now, I mean, I'm not a libertarian. I guess if I was, I'd be a libertarian with a lowercase L, as
Aren't they opposed to the actual standpoint of having meetings? That seems contradictory.
No. Like, when I went to the Libertarian Party meeting, they pretty much just said, hey, we want to be the Republicans. They just flat out said it.
Okay.
They want to be, like, they're like Republican light. And I'm like, okay. Like, I made the mistake of going to a couple Tea Party rallies back in the day. It's like 2009, 2010, something like that. And they're all like, all they did was bash Democrats the whole time. And I'm like, you guys realize that, like, the Republicans are just as much to blame. No, it's all the Democrats' fault. I'm like, no, so this is just a Republican rally then. Well, this is stupid. I don't want to be at it.
Those are people who won't admit that George Bush gave us two terms of Obama. You can't even say that to a lot of
I find this so funny, too. The people are like, now they're like, Obama's like the worst thing ever. I'm like, you guys said the exact same thing about Bush. Yeah. Like, everybody hated Bush. Bush was like, everybody hated, it's like, it's, and the same cycle repeats itself. It's like, over, it's why I'm just, for, to me, the American political system is so broken that there's no way to fix it. I mean, I think we should bring back the Whig Party. Like, if I were to run, I'd be wearing a powdered wig and be like, I'm the closest thing to the forefathers you've ever seen. I'd sit there in a powdered wig and be like, okay, this is what's happening now, with like a modern take, with like a suit and a powdered wig on my head, and be like, hey, we're going back to the foundations of this country was founded upon. But, you know,
I'm going to have to show you this off air. In the meantime, for any of the listeners, go Google this. Daniel Vovac, V-O-V-A-K, God rest his soul. A guy I used to work for ran for president on an obscure third party thing, wearing the powdered wig and doing the whole thing that you were talking
That's
about.
That's amazing.
And God bless him. And Daniel, rest in peace. And I know you're in a better place. But Daniel, you'd be the first to admit you were kind of a crackpot. Right, buddy? I don't think I'm besmirching the dead by saying this. Daniel was quite a character, to say the least.
I mean, to do that, you'd have to be.
Yeah. He did the thing with the powdered wig. He was wig guy. He was. It's so funny that, like, you never knew this, but you're talking about the exact same stuff this guy did.
To me, it just shows the absurdity of where everything's at. So if that's the case, and you got these people out there like, okay, for example, there's an issue going on right now. Of issue 3 in Ohio. And I am 100% in favor of what issue 3 does. Like, going back, or if they were talking about like the debates, like one of the issues that like needs brought up that is that I want is prison reform and cannabis reform. Because there's the two things right now that go hand in hand with each other that need change, because it's like, okay, if something's legal in 20 states medicinally, 4 states recreationally, it's on the ballot in Ohio. It's one of those things that people need to educated on it. Like, we grew up in the Nancy, or I did. I'm a little bit younger than you, but you were the Nancy Reagan era.
I was in high school in those years.
Yeah, the Nancy Reagan era, where it was blatantly propaganda lies that were spread throughout. And now it's like our argument, and like, you know me, I've been on the side of the champion this for years, where it's like our arguments are just scientific facts. They're just like, it's like, this is, it's like not. Is it something for everybody? No, but the benefits that do help people. Like, I remember my grandmother when she had cancer, and I offered to get her some cannabis. I said, hey, you know, and she told me straight up, I would do that if it were legal. And that was kind of the moment that really hit my gun shoes to be like, okay, now this is something that, you know, that would benefit people. But then it goes into the differences with you get, like, for example, I cause wars all the time on the Facebook with people like that are so like, because issue 3 changes the state constitution in Ohio, amends that.
Sort of the casino thing too. We amend the constitution at the drop of a hat.
Libertarians come in, they're like, oh no, we got to maintain the constitution. But do you guys realize it's? I looked this up. It took me all 10 seconds. The Ohio Constitution has been ratified something like over like 35 times or something. I forget what the number is exactly, but like it started off as like 7,000 words long, and now it's like 44,000 words. It's like, that's a lot of changes. Like, you can't go with the whole, well, this is what the Constitution is, because if that's the case, we'd still have slavery.
It's amazing, because you know? it was like a casino cartel monopoly in 2009, and I'm a big Dan Gilbert guy, but let's face facts. That's what it is.
That's what
and
it,
it's the same thing we're looking to do here,
and
which
the best
is
part
interesting.
Is, the best part
before.
About this, too, all these people, like, I actually looked it up. I listen to WNIR talk radio all the time, and Couchburner actually was on there, and he actually, like, read the entire bill, and everyone's like, you know, only these 10 people are going to have the rights to grow, and I was like, initially, yes, but from there, it's going to expand and include more people, and those 10 people that have the rights to grow are the ones that are paying for it. It's like, oh, do I want the wealthier to get wealthy? It's like, what do you think, like, I think there's, like, your Constitution, like, libertarians or whatever we want to call them think that like it should be like they should pass this and all of a sudden like everyone should have free reign. Like no, that should not be the case because there's certain like rules and restrictions. I watched a great show called Weed Wars on Netflix where they talked about how you know people get busted because they're like they're doing stupid stuff like growing it outside where kids can walk by and like
right.
No, like it's like you don't just leave beer sitting around outside.
Right.
And that's the misconception people
or
have.
Or the a-holes like, that are doing the equivalent of meth labs with the whole thing of the distilling into the wax stuff, because that stuff's dangerous, the processing.
It's like, you know, it needs to be done in a professional environment that, you know, and I can't really have a say-so. I'm in favor for legalization, but at the same time, I'm not. Like, it goes against my I'm not voting campaign, which is, like...
kind of a conundrum.
It is kind of a conundrum, but at the same time, it's like, I don't know what... I mean, it's for a good cause, but at the same time, I just don't want to give any more fuel to the fire to, the, like, the haters out there that hate on a plant. And that's just... that's I don't want it to be viewed as, like, if... Because everyone I've talked to, the reason why they're voting no has nothing to do with what it's for. It's the side effect of it because it's this legal monopoly thing. And again, that's politics where they write something in, and that's one of my another reason that has me so upset with not upset, but just like I've lost interest in it.
Yeah.
Because it's only in this country do you get like okay, for example, you should not kill children. Mm-hmm. Everybody agrees that we should not kill children, right?
Right.
That's a bad thing. Nobody wants to kill the kids. Kids are great, but at the same time, it's like okay, we're passing a law that says there's no killing kids, but then at the same time, someone will throw in something on the back end that says, but it's okay to run over puppies. It's
right.
Like, wait, no. It's like, what does this have to do with that?
Right.
And it's when nothing ever gets done. And
right.
It's why we're in the state we're in, where everything is just, I don't want to say status quo. It just, it's, I don't know. I mean, I've reached that point now where I just don't know. We're the horrible teenagers, kids that have grown up in the rest of the world, our country.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, you look at the stuff of our, we've done great contributions, and I love the United States of America. We've also introduced so much crap like GMOs.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. That
well, that's
are
the
just...
one good thing about eating gluten free is that it's less of that.
Yeah,
I noticed that. Like, so many things that are gluten free are not GMO stuff.
Yeah.
So
I mean, I'm so anti-GMO. I'm glad like stuff like Monsanto and all that stuff is getting like taken down and
right.
People are recognizing this and it just took enough of people to see like what this big issue is. And it's like, I mean, our country, people are like riddled with diseases that are like dying because of all this different crap we put in our bodies.
Yep.
As later on we're going to have Nathan's hot dogs, which isn't crap at all, but it's delicious tasting. Just saying, throw that out there. So good.
Those are, you know, but that's what's interesting, though, is that, you know, what has long been, you know, weed, the big outlaw accessory over the period of time, and now with this thing in Ohio and with issue 3, it's getting caught up in crony capitalism just like everything else in the society.
Ain't that life.
Sucked into the machine, Jake.
That's what happens, and all these people are protesting, like, what? Like, you honestly think this is going to, like, this is bad for us. What's so bad about it? It's like... I mean, realistically, what is so – all their arguments, it's like, you know, it modifies the state constitution, okay? That gets modified all the time.
Yeah.
It allows you to grow at your house. I mean, you can grow your own. That's fine. You just got to pass, I mean, certain laws. I don't understand I get the argument that people have against it, but at the same time, I just think they're nitpicky. That's just me.
Yeah.
I just think they're nitpicky, and it's like the whole – oh, the Constitution gets changed. It got changed for the freaking casino, like you said. And, you know, the world didn't end.
It's the same thing. With the marijuana cartel, the casino cartel, it's the same thing. And what's amusing to me is somebody went to Ohio University down the road from Meigs County there. I am very amused to see what this is going to do to the economy of Meigs County.
Is that one of the potential growth
Meigs
sites?
County gold was always one of the catchphrases down at school there. And let me tell you something, because that has probably been their biggest cash crop by far over a period of time. So what is the disruption, positive and negative, on the way of life in Meigs County going forward? I will be watching that with very amused eyes.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see how stuff like that takes place. And
yeah.
I would love to see Ohio, like, move forward, because this is going to happen. I still believe this is going to be Barack Obama's last FU. Like, his one FU to all of his haters was the legalization of gay marriage, which, you know what, I'm okay with, and I'll tell you why. It doesn't affect me. I'm not gay, and I'm not getting married, so it doesn't affect me one way or another, and everyone's like, you know, the whole argument, well, you can just pretend to be gay and get married. You can pretend to be straight and get married, too. I mean, at the end of the day, how can they know that it's two people that are really in love? Why don't they just get married for the tax break benefits? If you're personally opposed to it, which I know some people are out there,
yeah.
But at the same time, do it.
I'm a Roman Catholic. I don't need to get into that. I'll refer anybody to the Pope. You want to know what the reasons are? I'm not going to sit here and explain it to you.
Yeah.
Go ask the Pope. But it's a thing where, yeah, I mean, that's a battle that's been lost, I think, irretrievably. That the other side has won on that. But it's an interesting thing here.
I'm like the funny thing is, like, I'm actually anti-straight marriage because, like, if you look at the statistics, it's failed.
Well, you know, there's
that's a joke, by the way.
There's been a lot of. No, I was actually
I'm an ordained minister. Yeah, so it's like I actually marry people.
I was actually addressing that on an intellectual level, saying you were right, but no, that's
statistically, it has failed. 51% of marriages end in divorce.
Yeah, that's true. supposedly, that's going down. I guess I don't know.
Yeah.
I hear it goes back and forth.
Although Gay Divorce Court is going to be one heck of an awesome
that
show on Bravo.
Be, yeah.
Can you just imagine that?
Who gets the bedazzler? You know?
I just want that Carson guy from Queer Eye to the Straight Guy to be the judge. Oh man, that's right there. That's just begging for it. And the one guy from I forget his name, the actor that was in Independence Day, what's his face from Mrs. Doubtfire.
I'm horrible.
I didn't forget his name, but they let him be in and be like the prosecutor.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, look at, he just wore the wrong color plaid today. I mean, he wore white pants after Labor Day. That's just wrong.
Well, one of the things you mentioned before, too, just to bring everything around full circle here, you mentioned about, you know, prison reform, legal reform, whatever. And I didn't want to let this wrap without getting to that point, because I've come to sort of a pessimistic point of view in the last couple of days here, just with some of the things I've seen, because I, too, kind of come from the point of view of, so these are some of the things Rand Paul's been talking about. And I look at it, and particularly as it gets to, you know, policing of communities and everything like that. And I'm somebody that's always, you know, been very, very, very pro-police. But, I mean, I'm not somebody that looks to find corruption. There have been times where I've had it sort of, like, put right in front of me. There was somebody that used to be a City of Cleveland cop and was telling me all this corrupt stuff they used to do, and he was laughing about it and expected me to laugh along with him. So I hear stuff like that, and I kind of get disheartened. So I've sort of come from the point of view of maybe it's a good thing that the pendulum is swinging back in the other direction here, and maybe we're going to be more attentive to these issues and everything. I look in the last couple of days, crime rates now are going up again, and, you know, the police are now, it's a thing of, like, well, we're afraid to get out of our cars. And I have come around to the pessimistic point of view. We can either have the big crackdown we've had for the last 20 years where we bust everybody's head and throw them in jail, or we have an unsafe society. I want to be the idealist that says we can do things right, but it's just like,
unfortunately,
I think I'm not living in the real world if I think that.
I'm with you. Unfortunately, I think we're too far gone as a society that we can't come back.
That's what I'm thinking.
Hate to say that, but
yeah.
I mean,
it's horrible.
Barring, like, you know, like a zombie apocalypse, like, we need, like, some kind of major change. And I've thought this way for a while, but, like, and I have a whole rant on to, like, the way things have become the way that they are that we can get into it sometime. But it was, like, basically it all has to do with, like, we mentioned, like, you know, the policing and, like, inner cities and stuff like that.
Yep.
If you look from, like, the 1970s until now, how much things have changed.
Mm-hmm.
In of the 1970s, there were still manufacturing jobs in, like, the inner cities. Like,
yep.
We're in Akron, Ohio right now,
yep.
Which was the rubber capital of the world. There was inner city jobs. There were factory jobs that guys would go, like, your for lack of a better term, like your urban areas,
yep.
that his dad would have a job. He'd go to work. He'd work 40, 50, 60 hours to provide for his family. Would come home. You know, they'd have kids, the 3, 4, 5 kids, whatever it was back in the day. Because apparently the only thing you could do, it's kind of funny. With technology now, people have less kids.
Right.
Either they got smarter about this, or they just realized, wait, this is expensive. I can't afford all these children. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Some do, some don't. There's still some seven kids with seven different babies' daddies, but that's a whole other argument. Which goes into this, actually. You had these jobs. Well, all of a sudden, up the upper echelon of the bigger business owners up there, I like to call them the man, decided that it was cheaper to ship these jobs to foreign countries. So all of a sudden, you get these guys who were essentially like high school education, some not even high school education. My father, people like my father, mm-hmm. that were my dad has worked at a machine shop for over 40 years. Now, he is a rare breed in of that.
Yeah,
that do stuff like this. These guys, and when you get to like the 80s and into the 90s, all these jobs are going away.
Mm-hmm.
Well, next you know, I mean, along the way, dad, you know, maybe when dad would get off work, maybe he'd go to the bar and have a drink or something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now dad doesn't have to go to work anymore. Next thing you know, dad's drinking because he doesn't have a job.
Right.
And trying to find jobs, these guys, they all get misplaced. It led to a separation of as the generations went on,
mm-hmm.
where all of a sudden it was like, you know, and my grandfather taught me this, the way his marriage lasted so long, my grandparents never saw each other. He worked second shift, she worked first shift, whatever, she was home taking the kids, they never saw each other.
Okay.
So it's easy to be married for 35 years, somebody never see him. You see him probably 15 minutes a week, long enough to have another kid.
Right.
I mean, that's and unfortunately, that's a lot of times, that's how, you know, marriages worked back in the day.
Right.
Well, these guys are staying home, whatnot, all of a sudden they realize they don't really like each other.
Right.
So it brings out the worst, because, you know, if you're not working or doing something, she's going to be nagging him, he's going to be nagging at her. It leads to the kids see this,
mm-hmm.
and as the generations go on, you fast forward to the next generation, there isn't that family unit,
right.
which is such a powerful thing. That I know we both grew up with that,
mm-hmm.
and not that it's like, you know, the end-all be-all, but next thing you know, you got these kids that are craving either daddy's love or mommy's love, whatever, so they go out to find it wherever they can, and then that generation of kids is having kids.
Yep.
And like just recently, did you see on the news, there was a Circle K got like mob style attacked, and all
that's
these
right.
kids were, that was right up the street right here.
Ooh,
it was like
really?
Right up the road.
Okay,
yeah,
wow,
where that happened at.
Okay,
and it's our society. It goes back to like your comment about the policing.
Yeah,
due to like the generations have come down, like, you know, due to like welfare and other stuff, mm-hmm. the kids nowadays, inner city kids, they grow up with the mindset of, well, I'm expected to be a criminal, I'm expected to screw up, so I'm just going to do what they expect me to do.
Right.
And the police, at the same time, it's like, I'm expecting you to be this, to be a thug, to be a criminal.
Yep.
And it's just like this vicious cycle that dates all the way back. Really, you can blame it on the fact that all these jobs and everything were taken away, that there was no positive influence. Like, back in the day, it was like, okay, my dad works hard, busts his butt every day to provide, mm-hmm. or my mom busts her butt every day to provide. Over the course of time, all these things have gone away. These
yep.
jobs and everything have gone by the wayside, and that positive influence is taken away, where it gets to the point where, you know, you got a back talk about the abortion topic, you
yeah.
got selling sex,
mm-hmm.
and next thing you know, you got like somebody has, you know, 5 kids with 5 different people.
Yep.
And they come in, and there's no, it's like, where do you belong in that
right.
scenario, you know?
Yeah.
You end up fighting and fending for yourself. And I think it's like, if we could bring back, like, the core of, like, I always wanted to go back to, like, the 1950s and 60s. And even back, like, then,
yeah.
well, I mean, for us.
Economically, anyways, it was yeah. a great time.
And stuff like that. It's like, nowadays, everything is, it's just changed. And I think we've partially, not us personally,
right.
but society has created what this stuff is. And next thing, this situation like Baltimore, Maryland,
yep.
where they've flat out said, like I watch Vice, which I highly recommend anybody who's never seen Vice to watch
mm-hmm.
Vice. Like the police officers have flat out said, yeah, we could go in and target the upper middle class white neighborhoods and
mm-hmm.
probably find the exact same amount of drug activity,
mm-hmm.
but they have lawyers that will come in and get them off. In the inner city, they don't have that, so they're told straight up, target these people, send them in the system, they get public defenders. Public defenders say just plea bargain or something. Even if you did the crime or not,
right.
it doesn't really matter because you're in the system. Once you're in the system, it's a vicious cycle, and that's what needs to be reformed, because they're not even given a chance. The whole point of prison was to give yourself a chance to rehabilitate,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't work like that anymore. No. I mean, there's certain people out there who it does work for, and that's great. But a lot of times, I mean, once you're in the system, it's so easy. You just get trapped in this cycle of over and over and over again. And once somebody finds out you're in prison, they don't trust you because you're a convict.
Well, exactly. And you know what's funny is that minus the examples of some of the violence you were talking about with some of the inner city, the funny thing is you and I, both fans of the show Justified, we could be talking about, like, rural Appalachia for a lot of the same things generationally. You know, families that get the draw coming in the mail, you know, generations living off the welfare check in poor white Appalachia. I mean,
yeah.
It's amazing. It's that part of it is kind of universal in this country.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And it's just, I mean, it's something, I'm glad to hear that it's something that's finally being a topic that's being addressed,
mm-hmm.
because for the longest time it's been, well, out of sight, out of mind. Like,
right.
And a whole nother issue is the privatized prison system, which is just wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That is legal slavery, and I don't care how they slice it.
Yeah.
And the fact that, you know, you get judges out there that send, I mean, there was one example in Pennsylvania where the judge owned stock in the prison company, and he was sending kids to, like, 18 months of juvenile detention for, you know, being 16 and getting a speeding ticket.
Right.
It's like, wait, what? That's just wrong, you know?
Right.
And you get, like, now prisons are owned by corporations on Wall Street. They make $40,000 a year per prisoner they have in there, so they throw people and lock them up for, you know, mandatory minimums. They talk about this on Vice.
Right.
For mandatory minimums, and these people, like, they don't have lawyers. They get public defenders who, in the public defenders, are sure work hard,
right,
but have so many caseloads that they just do the mandatory minimum. They plea out on something, so next thing you know, there's people that were sentenced to jail for life for back in the day having possession of one joint.
Well, and that's
and
the
it's
thing
like,
too.
You're not hurting anybody, and then you send them in there, and next thing you know, they end up with hardened criminals, and you create something worse.
I am on a lot of economic and government issues. On a lot of them, not all of them. I am fairly libertarian. I believe in privatization, but prisons give privatization a bad name. Because it doesn't even save the taxpayers anything. Ideally, privatization stems from, okay, we're going to farm out to the private sector stuff where it can be more cost efficient. You know, free enterprise works better than the government, et cetera, et cetera. The whole prison thing, that's just a conflict of interest. Because like you said, there's the interest in keeping them in there. When you get into that stuff, when you get into the public defender bills, you're not even saving the taxpayers anything. That's the one area of privatization I am completely opposed to.
You're not, and it also just shows that when you get, like, when you got judges that can buy stock in companies in prison,
yeah.
It's like that's insider trading.
Yeah,
and it's with human life.
Yeah,
it's insider trading with human lives. That, you know, it's like people that don't belong there,
mm-hmm.
and shouldn't be there. Like, if you're a violent offender,
yeah,
go to, I don't want you on the streets.
Right.
But at the same time, if you're not harming anybody, like, you shouldn't. That shouldn't be the case.
Right.
And unfortunately, we have such a high prisons. If you look at other countries like Amsterdam,
right,
that use such great examples. It's like they don't have heroin epidemic there. That's another thing too. Oh God, I mean, we could have a whole show on that, especially with the amount of people that have, like, dropped dead I know of personally,
mm-hmm.
as a result of the whole heroin thing. That's something that, like, definitely needs a crackdown. I actually talked to a potential mayor candidate, my former high school teacher, Mr. Horrigan. He's running for mayor. Vote Horrigan. One of the questions we asked him, it was Young Akron Leaders had a meeting at Thirsty Dog Brewery, and we asked mm-hmm. him about, you know, what do you do about the heroin epidemic? Because that's something, like, mm-hmm. I've got no problem ratting out anybody. Like, if we're it's getting to the point now where it's street justice.
Right.
Like, if somebody knows someone who's doing it,
right,
that's dealing it, there's people out there that want to lynch them in the streets because
right.
you're murdering people.
That's how it should be.
Like, no matter how you slice it, you're murdering people.
Yeah.
You know you have stuff that's killing people, and you're selling it anyway.
Yep.
That is murder.
Yep.
And the 10th degree, that is what murder is.
And yeah.
You know they're going to do it, and you're allowing it to happen. I know of, offhand, I know five people that I knew personally, or I was one person mm-hmm. away from it this year alone that have...
Holy crap.
...died as a result of this. Yeah, it's constant. And it's something that, like, that's an issue that needs... attacked. And, you know, like, to me, marijuana is not an issue anymore. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. It's not even in the same level of that. That's drugs. This is a plant that has medicinal, scientifically proven medicinal values, you know?
The heroin thing, it's a thing where it's classic whack-a-mole, because the priority...
I never thought of it that way, but you're right.
4 or 5 years ago, what were you hearing about in this state? The pill mills.
Yeah.
And that's the whole thing, too, because I've seen some other stuff. I've got a buddy who's a lawyer down in Mount Vernon who's pretty well-versed on the subject, my good friend Scott Pullins. And, you know, I've gotten some wisdom from him on this. It's a thing where, you know, it's just like we're going to – okay, we're getting rid of the pill mills, so then now people are back on heroin. It's, you know, as we have gone through, we've gotten bleaker and bleaker on this. You know, we started on the great, you know, fun topic of pro wrestling and our friend Ryan Ward. I mean –
I think we should bring it back. Hell in a Cell's coming up in like 20 minutes.
Let's do that. Yeah.
We should end on an upscale topic.
Yeah.
Then again, we're talking Hell in a Cell. Oh my God, this could be worse.
Slashing their wrists by the end of this thing here.
Oh, they were doing that at the beginning. They saw us, our name on the marquee, and they're like, if they're going down this torture ride, it's their own fault.
Outstanding. Well, I mean, you know, is it a happier note when we're looking at some of the main events involving the Demon Kane and the Undertaker?
Hey, you know what? I'm actually looking forward to
the
show tonight.
Okay.
I think it'll be fun, or it could be a train wreck, but I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah, we're recording this before it happens, so everybody listening will know whether or not we ended up happy.
Yeah, right
or not.
Obviously, in the main event, you can tell it's Sunday. I'm supporting my team, Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
So, there's no reason for The Undertaker to win in the main event, in my opinion. It makes no sense.
Right.
I mean, unless you're like, I honestly want Brock to destroy him, and then the ending to be, is this it? Is he done? Like, and tease it. And like, I actually want him to be done. Like, I want this to be kind of like Steve Austin. I don't want this big hoopla, Undertaker's last match, because it leaves that, like, I want him to go into the Hall of Fame in Texas as, like, the headliner. But I want him to be like, you know, the Undertaker gets destroyed and they don't know if it's his last match. They never announce it as his last match. So there's always that aura, because that's like the Undertaker's thing, is he's that aura. He's like he's an essence. So there's always that aura of he could come back.
Mm-hmm.
He could come back. And he just never does.
Okay.
You know, he eventually starts doing stuff on the network and sits down. And he started doing that now.
Yeah.
But, you know, he comes back, he goes into the Hall of Fame, and that's it, and he's done. I mean, he's had a heck of a run, and what better way to go out than to get destroyed by the new Undertaker, Brock Lesnar, who essentially has taken up that role as, like, the mythical beast creature that that is the unbeatable no-sell machine, because that is what Brock is, and
right,
as he should be booked. They finally booked him right. Took him long enough. And I just, that's me personally. I think that's how I go. I have, you know, Brock just destroys him. And at the end of it, he shows him respect, and the Undertaker's done.
Well, either way, this supposedly is the last appearance of the year for both of them. At the same time, John Cena's going away. At the same time, Vince McMahon is micromanaging the product every week more and more, because the ratings are just going down and down further. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, you know, what I think we would all hope for is just like, hey, give Cesaro the big push now. And just like do the things they would have done if it was, what, in 1998.
You're funny, Cesaro.
Well, that's what we're hoping
for. He's Swiss. He's not American. Who's going to cheer for him? I love Cesaro, by the way. I don't think that's going to happen. But
no.
Throw it out there for you, then. Who answers the open challenge?
Well, open challenge. People are going to know when they hear this, because we're calling it ahead. We're doing this ahead of time. You know what? Just because the first night back he's advertised for it to be Sheamus, I'm going to go total missionary position and say it's Sheamus.
You're going to go Sheamus to answer the U.S. title open challenge?
Yeah.
I think he's wrestling right now on the pre-show, so I don't know if I'm going to.
Yeah, well,
I'm going to go with, because it's got to be somebody that, you know, that the to generate some movement. And if he's healthy, I like the Daniel Bryan idea. Don't know if he's healthy, but if he's healthy, why not? He's a top face. You can get in there, bam, can do something good. If he's not healthy, it's not Samoa Joe, because he's at the NXT show. It's not Tyler Breeze, because he's at the NXT show. But my pick was Tyler Breeze till I found out he's at the NXT show at Aftershock Festival. So that rules him out. I mean, Finn Balor's up at that NXT show, so it rules all those guys out of
Funniest
it.
Funniest rumor I've heard, AJ Styles. Yeah, like they're going to put the face.
James Storm is one I'd be okay with.
Like they're going to put the face of Impact Wrestling over the face of the WWE.
That would be funny.
That would be very funny.
I don't think it's going to be AJ Styles, but I mean, James Storm is another one that, you know, something that'll get a reaction. But I'll go with, you know, the Shocker and say Daniel Bryan if I'm right. Or you can take the safe bet since he's not doing anything, Dean Ambrose.
Yeah, could be. But
he needed to be a face because they don't have any faces.
Yeah,
like none.
Yeah,
name one. There's none.
Presumably, if they're taking the title off him, it's going to be a put him out of action revenge angle for when Cena comes back.
No, not really, because he's already said, I'm not going to be here. They publicly acknowledge he's taking time off.
Well,
it's like, it's not like the old days where, you know, you get beat up and taken out at an angle. Oh, no, it's just John Cena's taking time off.
But it goes against the whole
thing.
Or
he could just win and take the belt with him. That would surprise me.
That's the whole thing. It's just like, you know, U.S. Open Challenge. The U.S. title needs to be defended every week. except for the next 2 months. Peace out. Yes, that doesn't exactly fit, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree
themselves
with you.
Into a corner. Well, here's the thing, too. Let's leave it on this note. We pride ourselves on this show, hopefully, on being entertaining and insightful here. Something something that I don't hear ever pointed out about Cesaro. I'm going to bring this up, and I think you're probably going to agree with me. This doesn't get brought up enough. When we keep hearing about, you know, first of all, again, I don't buy that he doesn't have enough charisma, mic skills, whatever. But
Vince just doesn't like him.
Here's the thing,
that's
though.
That's all it is.
But here's the thing. He has something in common with Vince that I would think Vince would appreciate. Vince is maybe top five all-time at facials. Cesaro is very good, too. He is so expressive. You talk about conveying whatever you want to convey just with your face. Cesaro is so great at that, and I never hear it get talked about, Jake.
Again, yeah, I agree with you on that. He is great at it.
Yeah.
He's like the new internet darling. He's the one, like, you know, that everybody loves, so they won't push him because they love him. It makes no sense. It's some ass backwards logic, but that it's happened in every generation. And I just like Cesaro's hairstyle, personally. I'm a big fan. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, you know, suave people worldwide have been adopting it the same way that he has.
Trendsetters.
Well, it's going to be a pleasure watching the pay-per-view with you, so I appreciate you having me over to do that. And I appreciate the chance once again to catch up on one of these omnibus sessions with you, Jake, from pro
these
wrestling,
are fun.
Food, MMA, politics, back to wrestling. I mean, not many people I can do that big of a loop with on the program here. Not many people in our family of contributors.
Next time we should do comic books.
Ooh, we could.
Yeah.
I'd have to bone up a little bit first, but my man Jason Jones can school me a little bit. I'd get ready to sit down with you and do it. I'm not that much of an aficionado, but that'll give me something to aim for, Jake. I'll get up to snuff, and we can do that.
Sounds good, my friend. It's an honor to be on the lounge one more time, and I'm going to go make me some Nathan's hot dogs. Gluten-free, might I add. Gluten-free.
Gluten-free. Always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody, for tuning into this omnibus edition of FDH Lounge, mini episode number 627.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.